This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hello, Grant and Dave. How are you on the day after Ryan Grant told you to kick all the rocks in the fourth quarter with some big third down catches day?
Hello, Grant and Dave. How are you on the day after you still wish you had Pierre Garçon so bad because he's mean and nasty and makes every catch, including a big one that should have been on a game-winning drive?
I really missed him yesterday, Day.
All right.
Hello, Grant and Dave. How are you on a day? Grant's in an L.A. studio where the on and off button are the same, and they keep getting stuck, and he can't tell the difference. So apparently people heard him eating and then tweeted him about a day.
Oh, that's not good, Dak.
Dak. That was my EMP Crunchy cereal, so I'll apologize for any of you who heard me.
Oh, you're fine.
Eating. But, Danny, I got to tell you, buddy, I just rewatched this play from the Jets-Patriots game.
You mean the touchdown?
I mean the touchdown that should have been. Austin Seferian Jenkins diving for the goal line, knocked over the pylon. Here's the thing. The call was correct, I believe. I really do believe that. The problem is that when the call is correct and common sense tells us that you've got to make a different judgment, that's when you got to change a rule. But Al Riveron, I guess is the name of the official there on the goal line who made the call, he is standing by what he said yesterday. For those of you that don't know what happened, Jets are trying to score an important touchdown. Seferian Jenkins is their big tight end. He's being tackled by one defender and hit at the pylon, knocked out of bounds by another. The would-be tackler who's coming over from the middle of the field punches the ball free for a split second. It's loose, and then he re-corrals it. It's loose as he flies over the goal line. He then lands on the ground inside the pylon with full control of the ball. But because when he flew through the air over the goal line, the ball was loose for a second, they rule this a fumble. And it's not like you just get to try again from the half-yard line. It's the Patriots football on a touchback. Change this rule immediately. I don't care how we got to it. I don't want to know anything more. I want this to never happen again.
Yeah, I don't even know if it was the right call or not. I actually think it was wrong. But either way, the idea that he has the ball in the end zone. What are we doing? I'm with you. The idea that a person has the football in his possession in the end zone and it's the other team's football is the most ludicrous thing in the world. It is absolutely stunning. I don't know how you can arrive at that, especially because it wasn't called that way on the field. They had to go back and change it. Like some sort of share on a boat, turn back time type scenario. Where like, no, you know what you saw with him with the ball in the end zone? You didn't really see that. You saw something else entirely. God, that was a disaster. I feel terrible for the Jets fans, man. They should have won that game.
Yeah, they should have, and they played well enough, too. By the way, the over-under in Vegas, and if Dar is available at the UMSO news desk, he would know the answer to this because I think he may have had a little action on this for fun purposes only. Mm-hmm. But I think the over-under for them in Vegas was 3.5 wins this year. Is that right?
It was 4.5.
Okay, so they have to get to 5-11 to make you a loser. I mean, they were almost at 4 yesterday.
Yeah, I was sweating that one out.
4-2.
I'll just be honest with you.
So a lot of people who put money on the Jets not getting there are happy about that call, I guess. But they could have easily have beaten New England and gotten a 4-2. And at least for the moment in that division, the Patriots could be looking up at the Jets with a loss to them in head-to-head play. Just crazy what's going on around the NFL right now. All right, here's the question. We'll get to the Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines at 800-636-1067. Do you feel better or do you feel worse about the Redskins after yesterday's 2-point win? Danny, I feel better. And here's why. I think the Redskins over the years, when they have been a bad team, certainly, or even an average team that, you know, 7-9 kind of mix, they may lose that game yesterday. It's 17 apiece. They get the ball back and they got a drive. And twice they went and got points. Once, they punch it in for a touchdown on the Cousins read option. The other time, they have to settle for a field goal. But they go and they get 10 points, if Hopkins makes his extra point, in the fourth quarter when it was, as I like to call, winning time. I think in the past, you get a big penalty. Maybe there's a sack fumble. You turn the ball over. Something happens. Someone loses the ball fighting for extra yardage like Vernon Davis did earlier. And San Francisco gets a little bit more momentum. Also, on a day where you didn't have Norman, you didn't have Breland, you got Swearinger coming off the field, Nicholson coming off the field. How about the number of defensive plays they made late? The Matt Ioannidis sack? We can't talk enough about that. That set San Francisco back for a 47-yard field goal they'd miss.
Huge play.
Kerrigan, huge sack in a drive that looked like it was going to result in points. All of a sudden, second and a mile back to midfield when they were about to get another field goal opportunity from chip shot range. I think they made just enough plays. They got lucky for sure. The Pierre Garçon OPI call was terrible, in my opinion. Reminded me of overtime against the Bengals when he cost the Redskins with an OPI. But in general, I think they won a game in the past they would have lost. I liked it defensively. They made a couple big plays and they stepped up and they earned it. And on offense, when they had to in the fourth quarter, they mounted drives, two straight drives, and they were able to do that.
You give them credit for doing everything they had to do, and you're absolutely right about those nice moments for the offense that had no momentum in the second half, mounting a couple drives that were important. But I think if you're honest with yourself watching that game, you got to feel worse if you're a Redskins fan. Given the previous couple of weeks where you gave Kansas City everything they could handle and had a shot to win it, you beat the hell out of an Oakland Raiders team that we now know isn't that good, but you still dismantled them. That was like the number one team in the power rankings in college football. That was like Alabama beating some, you know, Middle Tennessee State, Tech, A&I, South. You know, it was nonsense. They killed Oakland. So you're thinking, hey, these guys are pretty good. They're the best 2-2 team in football, et cetera. Yesterday was a reminder, you know what? They haven't quite arrived yet. They're not that good. I know they won the game. They deserve credit for that because you're right. They don't win that game.
But how do you rebut when I say that's the league? In other words, the Steelers beat the Chiefs 19-13. You look around yesterday, there were games that didn't make sense. The Jets, as we just pointed out,
of course,
should have beaten the Patriots. You've got like the Bears beating the Ravens in Baltimore. I guess Baltimore's not that good, but Miami over Atlanta. It happens.
It does.
San Francisco's playing everyone close. They're the first team in league history to lose five straight games by 3 points or fewer.
It's one, but how many of those games are, you know, you're up 17-0 and you've got a chance to shut them out of the end zone. You find a way to let them back in with a backup quarterback. It's never going to be any good. I understand your point. That is the league and games are close. There are also games, though, that aren't close. There are also games that from start to finish, you go, that one team is better than the other one. And even if they have some late flurry scores to kind of even it up as you're playing prevent, it was frustrating to watch the Beathard carved them up a couple times over. They had no answers in the secondary. It was frustrating to watch them for a time have Carlos Hyde go for 5-6 yards a pop on first down, even though overall they did a good job stopping him. And it was frustrating to watch this offense not be able to run the football. Frustrating to watch them kind of give this lead away. Robbie Gould, who's been excellent this year, misses a 47-yard kick. That's not a gimme by any stretch, but he's been making those kicks. You lose if he makes that kick early on in the game. Not even talking about the end of game type deal. To me, it reminded you, you know, it's like, you. I don't know, if you think you got like a superhero or something like that, and he's starting to get real powerful, then you go, oh, yeah, he's got this fatal flaw. It was just a reminder to me that the Redskins
had. And then he stares at his fist, Danny.
No. This is not a fist-staring thing. You always confuse these analogies. It's such an easy analogy to understand, not convoluted at all in my own word warp mind. The simple fact is that it's a reminder that you ain't that good yet. And that's okay. And I got ahead of myself a little bit watching them, you know, play a couple teams that are really good, really close, and beating the heck out of a team the way that they did, going on the road and beating Sean McVay and company for a 4-2 Rams team. You started to think, hey, I believe this train's rolling a little bit. They found something. They're pretty good. It was a reminder that, yeah, they could still lose to anybody. Yeah, they're still not quite that great yet. And that's okay. As just, again, in this building process that we're trying to do here. But goodness gracious, it would have been nice to just say, start to finish, a winless team flies across country, plays at 10 a.m. their time, and they got woodshedded from start to finish. You would have started to felt really good about the Redskins. Throughout the game, your kind of feelings went down.
Let's hit the phones. How do you guys feel about yesterday? Do you feel better or worse about the Skins than you did before the game? 800-636-1067.
Let's go to Vic and Akakik first up in Real Passion. Vic, how do you feel?
What's up, guys?
Hey, dude.
I feel like Danny feels. I feel like the Redskins proved that they have not arrived yet. Simple football stuff. Two things I'll point out that I think have been talked about. I did not watch the game, but in hearing, listening on the radio, the type of plays we were running, I heard some outside zone, I heard some backside zone. It means the tight ends have to block. And I keep hearing that the tight ends are not blocking.
Oh, they were terrible in the blocking game, Vic. Terrible.
And I'm watching the first two games. Like, everyone can – I know people can, you know, write me off and say, well, Vic, you're not a coach. You know, you pay $1 million to do what you think you can do. I watch film. I know what I'm looking at. There's no leverage. The tight ends aren't getting any push off the ball, and they're not coming off low off the ball, and they get blown up at the point of attack. And then in the defensive secondary – That one play where they should have checked Fabian Moreau should have checked the three, so he'd have had the deep third and split the receiver and took that third away from him. I get that. That was a blown coverage. I understand. What I'm talking about is these plays where, yes, I know Zach Brown is fast and he's athletic and all of those types of things, but he is horrible in taking away the ability for the quarterback to throw in a lane with his eyes. If he is not right in front of the play where he can make a play with his athletic ability, he makes glaring mistakes. And I'm going to tell you the type of mistakes it looks like. It looks like the type of mistakes LeVar used to make because he was so reliant on his athletic ability. Those things come down to coaching. And I feel like after we played against Kansas City like we did and after we started this first half like we did versus 49ers, we should have been able to home in on those little things a lot better if we're going to be a really good football team.
Vic, thank you, man. I got to let you jump. Sorry, bud.
Look, we'd have to do a 36-hour radio show to get into Zach Brown's eyes on plays where he didn't take away lanes or whatever that was. You're a coach. Whatever. That's your observation. That guy plays great football. I want him on the field. He makes plays. I don't really know what you're talking about, but I'll take your word for it, having watched the film, I guess. 800-636-1067. What else we got, Danny?
Let's go to Dylan in Fairfax. Dylan, you feel better or worse after yesterday's game?
I would be feeling better, guys, but we just have so many injuries right now that I'm not sure we can survive them when we play better teams like the Eagles. When Bashaud went out, that secondary looked like Swiss cheese, and I think Rob Kelly's really the centerpiece of the running game. Without him, we can't really rely on Chris Thompson to really carry us. So I guess overall I'm feeling pessimistic, but if Norman and Breland come back soon and Rob Kelly comes back, I'll probably feel optimistic.
Thanks. You, Dylan.
Rob Kelly averaging 4.5 yards per carry this season, 29 attempts, 131 yards. He has been effective, there's no doubt, certainly more so than Samaje Perine. I love Chris Thompson getting the start, 20 touches, 138. I think you got to pick your spots with him because you can't give him 20 touches a week and expect him to be healthy come week 17. But I am not ready to say that the reason they couldn't run the ball yesterday was because Rob Kelly wasn't around. Rob Kelly's been okay. He hadn't really been much better than that. Had a great half against the Rams. In that half, I think Danny would have rushed for 65 of the 80 or so yards that Rob Kelly had ripped off. It was just nothing but holes you could drive a golf cart through. Yesterday was a blocking issue to me. Perine led the team in yards per attempt. He had more than Thompson. A little bit misleading because he lost 7 on a carry. But he had more than Mac Brown, who had 2 for 2. So it's not like he was the only guy struggling. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Let's stick with this. Do you feel better like I do, worse like Danny does? I just find it hard to believe in the NFL, as much as we know now about teams like San Francisco being due to get some breaks, 0-5, the hunger and the starvation of a guy like Pierre Garçon, Aldrick Robinson, Logan Paulson, Kyle Shanahan coming back to FedEx. It's a tie game. They got the ball in your range, down by only 2 points, and you still win. Find it hard to believe you wouldn't be feeling good about this team's reserve that they tapped into. But we'll get to the calls next on The Fan.
I feel better. So does Grant. You know why? Because we went to EMP180 Weight Loss. That's why. Grant's on the road. He and I were on the road last week in Chicago. Probably got out of bounds a little bit a couple times with our meals. I am right back on the good foot, maintaining that weight. I've graduated from EMP180 Weight Loss, just like JP has. I have maintained that desired body comp and that weight since I've graduated GP because, as we talk about all the time, EMP180 Weight Loss has given us the tools to not only just crash diet, but to live our lives.
Yeah, we've made lifestyle changes. I think that's the big difference here. Yesterday, we were at a restaurant. Some rice came to the table. Somebody ordered some mac and cheese for the table. I didn't eat either of those things. I ate dinner at a restaurant. I enjoyed myself. I'm on the road. I had to go out with my friends. I had fun. But I ate smarter than I used to. I know how to do that thanks to EMP180 Weight Loss. They have changed my life. I'm down about 70 pounds. Danny's a graduate. You got to get in on this program. It'll be different for you than it is for us because they cater specifically to your needs.
They do. They will help you get through this. It's not easy. They know that. They will find what works for you. EMP180weightloss.com. That's EMP180weightloss.com or call them 855-888-0180. Schedule your consultation today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.